Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, it's a great thrill and a treat for me to welcome Katie Wilson, our children's pastor, to come and speak to us from the Gospel of Luke.
Okay, come on up, Benjamin. This is a really exciting day for me because today I get to preach with one of my friends from Vineyard Kids, and this is Benjamin. Some of you maybe haven't met him. And yeah, Benjamin and I have known each other for quite a wee while now, wouldn't you say? And here are some things I want you to know about Benjamin. He is a boy who prays like anything for this church, don't you? He's a real gifted intercessor, and for a long time he's consistently prayed with us for our church. And another thing that he does is he's really opened up the scriptures for me and lots of other people in Vineyard Kids. If we're going through a passage, he's a person who often can totally grasp what God's trying to say through the scriptures and explain it really well. And for a while now, I've known that some of our kids are really gifted to preach. And I felt the Lord prompt me earlier in the year to start trying to release them into their gifting. So yeah, Benjamin is a wee bit of a guinea pig, aren't you? But he's cool as a cucumber and not nervous at all. So it's really, really exciting. So what's going to happen is Benjamin's going to pray for us and he's going to read our passage, and then I'm going to talk for a bit, and then Benjamin's going to talk for a bit. Sound good? Do you want to pop that up there? Is that helpful or not? Why don't you pray for us, Benjamin?
Dear Lord, I thank you for bringing us all here today, and I just pray that throughout the week that you'll just, if there's anything we need to see in the Bible, that you'll show us to it, you'll highlight it for us, and that we'll be able to see you and talk to you clearly. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Do you want to read the passage for us?
Yes. It's right here. Okay. People will also bring babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17.
One last verse.
Oh, sorry. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17.
Thank you. I'm going to call you back up in a bit. Do you want to take your Bible? Thank you. We'll hear from Benjamin in a little bit. Before we delve into this, I want you just to make a picture of this story in your mind. Okay, we've heard this story many times. Those of us who have grown up going to church and Sunday school will have no doubt heard this more times than you can imagine. Now, I wonder what your picture's like. I wonder if it is a peaceful one. Now, I wonder, did any of you have a children's Bible when you were younger? You know, one of the ones with the pictures in it? Because, you see, I was round at Benjamin's house this week and we were kind of laughing a bit. Because I'm with Benjamin's mum, Jen, as well. Because we can remember some of the pictures that illustrated this story in Bibles when we were little. And they look something like this. They're not great images. But can you see the little bunny hopping up to Jesus and the squirrel in the tree? Here's another one, with the little lamb right beside Jesus. And look, the baby on Jesus' knee, giving him a little gift of a nice daisy. And here's a personal favourite. Here's a little one with Jesus and the puppies. So, I know. But these were the sorts of pictures that were in some of our Bibles and that we associate with this story. And so I kind of realised that this is why I sometimes, even as a children's pastor, find this story a wee bit off-putting, because I realised I associate it with something that's kind of, I don't want to say sickening, but kind of a bit like, you know, well, off-putting, right? And what we do is we take this really, really powerful story and we kind of knock the stuffing out of it by reducing it to cuddles and fluffy animals. And, you know, some of the Bible pictures I saw showed Jesus glowing with all the children in his lap while the lambs and the bunnies frolic and play. And today, we want to put it to you that instead of being a cute and cuddly moment, in reality, this was actually a powerful political moment in time. And Jesus was making a statement that was so much less butterflies and bunnies, and it is totally about kingdom power. He's making a really strong... I'm going to go back to the verse, so we don't have to keep looking at this. We'll go back there and you can reread that instead. Okay, so Jesus is making a really strong point about the kingdom in this passage. And all through the Bible, we see instances where God is calling and commissioning and saving children. And here we have one of the most powerful stories in the Gospels, where Jesus insists that the children be brought to him for a blessing. And his intentional act of blessing little babies, it's a really powerful sign about how his kingdom works. And actually, what we need to realize is that to the disciples, this would have been shocking and confusing. You know, the emotions weren't cuddles and fluff. The emotions were probably, what on earth is going on? Like, quite shocked, because Jesus is turning things upside down. And he takes it even further, because he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child will never actually be able to enter it. And that is not warm and fluffy. That is hard and real. So in this story, just to paint the picture of it, at best, we can gather that fathers and mothers and maybe even older siblings were bringing young children and babies to Jesus for a blessing. I was telling Benjamin he's not some weird visual aid for this story, because actually it's babies and toddlers that this story's looking at. And they're coming to Jesus. And it was keeping in touch with a classic Jewish custom that dated all the way back to Old Testament times. You've heard the story of when Israel laid his hands upon his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he blessed them. And it kind of started a tradition. And these parents, they were likely standing in line, because like that, they wanted Jesus to lay his hands on their children and bless them. Now, probably, I'm trying to paint the mental picture of this. The parents were standing in line and chatting and keeping their little ones occupied and waiting for it to be their child's turn. Again, this is not fluffy. Any of you who have ever tried to stand in a queue with a toddler will know this was no easy thing. So probably there were like actually quite high tensions here, and they didn't have smartphones back there. So unlike us, they couldn't show their kid a quick 5 minutes of Peppa Pig to try and pass the time. They were in this queue trying to occupy their kids because it was important. They wanted to get to Jesus with them. And suddenly, next thing that happens, they're being sent home by the disciples and rebuked actually for wasting Jesus' time. So why did the disciples send them away? I mean, basically, I think it was because they thought they were protecting Jesus. They knew that Jesus was under pressure with crowds, and there was conflict everywhere that he went, a lot going on. And I guess they just thought that the blessing of so many children would just be one more thing that might drain him. And to the disciples, they thought, well, they're just children, right? They couldn't really contribute to the cause. So they just thought, let's send them away and Jesus can have some downtime. So it wasn't that bad. Essentially, their heart was to protect Jesus. But they were stopping an important thing from happening. And Jesus, when he saw what was happening, he stepped in. And he says, this bit, he says, let them come to me. And do not hinder them. I imagine the emphasis was on the word not. And it's clear that the disciples, they thought that children were an intrusion, and a useless one at that, because they weren't able to serve Jesus. Remember, we're thinking about little children here. Probably for the most part, these kids couldn't even have a conversation with Jesus, actually. The babies were brought to Jesus to be blessed, and it seemed like an unnecessary bother to bring them to the master when there was nothing of real value to be gained. And so the disciples took it upon themselves to send the parents and the children away, and they just gave the parents that they were wasting Jesus' time. And they hindered the children from coming to Jesus because they weren't significant enough, because they thought they'd nothing to offer. They thought that little children like this were takers and not givers, and they weren't an asset to the mission. But Jesus set the disciples straight. He called the children to come to him for a blessing. But why? Why were they encouraged to come? Jesus makes a strong point that he loves children and he affirms them as individuals, and also he affirms their spiritual capacity even when they're just as babies and toddlers. The Matthew Henry commentary, I was reading it and it puts it so well like this, past the horrible pictures. Okay, he says this: none are too little, too young to be brought to Christ, who knows how to show kindness to those not capable of doing service to him. I love this bit. It is the mind of Christ that little children should be brought to him. Isn't that really powerful? It's the mind of Christ. And then Jesus places hands on them. The way in which Jesus noticed children is mentioned several times in the Gospels. I don't know, there's obviously something in Jesus' look or his manner that attracted children to him. Like kids can tell a mile off if you like them or not. And they know if you like them, and they'll be around you and with you and on you. And they got that off Jesus. They knew that he actually liked them. And there was something in his manner that attracted little ones to him. And it's been said many times when I was preparing for this, I kept reading again and again, people saying that you can tell a lot about the spiritual health of a person by watching how they interact with children. If you want to assess someone for just, I don't know, leadership or whatever in church, a lot of people were suggesting put them in a room with a load of children and see what happens, and you will see if you've got a leader. There's something about Jesus' heart, and I'm not saying that everyone needs to be in kids' ministry, but everyone needs to have that position, that heart position towards children. It's really, really important. It says a lot about who we are. All right. Yeah, so often the way we behave as a society towards children is contrary to Jesus' teaching and values, because he prioritised children. He recognised what God had placed in them, and he blessed that. Whenever you receive a child into your arms, it's a way to receive Jesus. He says that when we welcome a child in his name, it's just as if we've welcomed him. Receiving a child is a way to receive Jesus. So we need to really keep in mind, to call to our minds ways in which Jesus related to children, and let them stir a response in our hearts. The way in which children were freely accepted by our Lord is similar to the way in which all people must enter the kingdom of God. So for the disciples to hinder the kids' access to him was therefore, it was a distortion of the gospel itself. Kids are so malleable and easily influenced. Little children especially can't stand up for themselves and be heard. And for this reason and so many more, Jesus is with them in a way that he does reserve for the most vulnerable groups in our society. So actually, the blessing of children, it would have been a massive shock to the disciples. And actually, I'm just going to throw it out there. If we really think about it, it can be a shock to us as well when children are prioritised. But what is most surprising is that Jesus says that children teach us the means of our inheritance. So the question now is, in what ways must everyone come into the kingdom as these children came to Jesus? Because the answer to this question, it's really, really crucial. It's crucial because Jesus said, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So have a think about that. This childlike quality is required of all who follow him. Without it, we will not ever enter into the kingdom of God. This is a really serious passage here about kingdom life. And probably we're thinking, where are the lambs and bunnies now? So what is it about children that we must copy? This passage provides us with several important clues. So the first is that we read that the children who come to Jesus are very young children. And look, in fact, he tells us that they're babies. And babies do not trust. Babies are carried to Jesus. They can't get their own way there. They make no conscious decisions. They speak no words. They probably only understand a few words at that age. And then the next clue that we have as to what Jesus was talking about comes from the story that follows on. I'm not going to read it out to you, but if you have your Bibles, you'll see that the next story in this series is about the young man, the young ruler who goes to Jesus, asking what he must do to enter the kingdom of God. And this young man, he goes on to tell Jesus about how he's kept all the commandments. He's followed all of the rules from ever since he was a child. And it's just like Luke has put these two paragraphs side by side in order to show us something that is really, really important by contrasting them. So the rich young ruler, he talks about all that he has done from childhood in order to earn God's favor. And in contrast, Jesus takes a tiny child in his arms and he tells everyone that they must enter the kingdom of God by coming to him like these children. It's no accident that these stories are placed side by side in the book of Luke. We can be so proud of our achievements and our qualifications and the lives that we've built for ourselves that the blessing of Jesus over the least is shocking if we're honest. We're okay if we reduce it to a cute thing, but Jesus doesn't think it's cute. He actually prioritizes the weak. How humbling to remember that Jesus places the children in our society and in our church over us. We have to pause and ask ourselves how it is that we are reflecting the heart of Jesus towards children. This is a hard teaching. What is it that these little children have that we should run after and want to revive in our adults' life? We have a little one ourselves who's recently turned two, so it's been quite easy for me to mull over this because I feel like we're actually living it at the minute. And I've been mulling over some of the attributes that mark the life of a toddler. The first thing I could think of in our house is that in the world of small children, sleep is a vastly overrated thing. We have a girl who, for most of her 2 years, has resisted sleep. Whenever we say it's nap time in the day, she just like start to howl with disappointment. And the only way that sometimes I get her upstairs, she's like arching her back and not wanting to go to bed, even though she's exhausted. And the only way we can get her upstairs is to tell her about all the amazing things we're going to do once she wakes up. If she'll only go to sleep, it's bribery. And every morning in our house, she is the first person to wake up. And we waken up to the sound of her singing her nursery rhymes, and we'll go in to lift her up. It's improved a wee bit, but it could have been any time from 5:30 onwards for the past year. And you go in, and the first thing she says to us is, "Want to go downstairs to play?" So as soon as she's downstairs, she will be like, "Oh, want to go outside? Want to go see the trees? Want to get my toys out?" And basically, when you're one and when you're two, you don't want to miss a thing. She absolutely loves being alive. And every day is just a chance for new things. And the other thing about kids is, like, you know, they don't Google every new thing that they see. They just look at the world around them and they just say, wow. You know, kids love life. And Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And little kids are a reminder of what it looks like to have life to the full. Don't lose your love for life. Children are a reminder to us of what Jesus has for us when we all come to him. "Come to me," he says. The next and most important point I want to highlight is that kids come to Jesus empty-handed. It is the truth that you cannot achieve a right standing before God. You cannot earn it. You cannot build it. Many of us are building amazing things. Many of us in this room, we build amazing homes, amazing careers, amazing relationships, but we cannot build position in the kingdom. Jesus shows us through these little empty-handed children that coming to Jesus is not something that can be achieved. It's something to be received. "Come to me," Jesus says. "Lay down your stuff. Because I am all that you need. I'm your everything." There's a kingdom inheritance that Jesus has for you, and the only way that you can get it is by turning to Jesus as one who is totally dependent upon him. Let the little children come to me, Jesus says. Like the Father, Jesus gathers people to him. His behavior emphasizes the invitation of the gospel to come close. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Today, like those little children, he is inviting you to come to him and be blessed. Another thing that I want to take note of is that kids are super responsive. I was driving along this week and I felt the Lord actually remind me of this story. So I'm just saying that because I think it's actually a really important thing for this morning. In Vineyard Kids, whenever we invite kids to follow Jesus, there's always a really huge response. You know, sometimes with adults, there's like a secret response, like we'll maybe creep up or something, or the odd response. But in kids, if I was to walk into our nursery to P2 room now and actually ask who wanted to respond to Jesus, I'm looking at some of the leaders, there would be a response. There wouldn't be empty looking faces. And recently I got a message from Lucy, who is one of our leaders in that age group, and it said something like, yay, this morning in Vineyard Kids, 16 kids decided to make Jesus their number one and follow him. And at least 4 of those were for the first time. That's what happens all the time in kids. Many of our kids, they just keep responding to Jesus all of the time. Whatever season that they're in, what seems to happen is that they'll respond as little children, and then a year later they're a year older, so they understand a new thing about Jesus that they just didn't get the year before, so they give him their life again. They're like, yes, I'm going to say yes to that. And then the next year the same thing happens, and they're responding and responding. Our kids are in this journey of continual response and continually choosing to come to Jesus. And funny story, we had this one kid, and I'm going to pretend for the sake of this story that he's called Josh. He's far past Vineyard Kids now, and still in our church, and he must have become a Christian. I cannot even guess how many times. Some of you will know exactly who I'm talking about, so that's why I'll not say a name. Every time we would ask if someone wanted to start following Jesus, his hand went up, and this was right through till he was 11, like an older kid. Wait for the next, but I remember one week saying, hey Josh, did you put your hand up last week and come and pray this with me to become a Christian? And he looked at me with excited eyes and just said, oh, but Jesus is so amazing, I can't help it. I just want to say yes to him every week. Do you know, there was a book that I read this week by a guy called Mark Griffiths. He's like an Anglican minister. He's a great guy. And he's written this book called Changing Lives. And he says it like this. Oh, there we go. He says, ours is a glorious gospel which transforms young and old, which confuses the Pharisee, but leaves the young boy saying, I have these fish and loaves, will they help? Ours is a timeless gospel which sometimes bypasses the brain and hits the heart. That's why kids get this. They just let it hit their heart. I'm just going to throw it out there. I feel, as I've been praying, that the Lord has been saying that some of you have already decided to follow Jesus, maybe a long time ago, and maybe you've grown distant, and like these kids, today's your day to give your yes again. I think today's your day to come back to him and choose to start following him again. Jesus has got new things to show you, and he's got new things for you to do in the kingdom. So today I want to really invite you to come to him like a child and to say yes to him. It's a radical act of privilege and grace that we adults have forgotten, that we too can come to Jesus like this. If we don't receive the kingdom of God like a child, we will not enter it. We don't get into the kingdom unless we receive salvation like a child. No one. Helpless and dependent. Children of the kingdom enter it helpless. Ones for whom everything must be done. And let's be honest, the realization that we are helpless is not a nice one. It's not very comfortable. Paul Tripp says it like this in his parenting book. As we seek to parent our children, The Heavenly Father is parenting everyone in the room. This is important. Like our children, we need to grow and mature. Like our children, we haven't progressed beyond the need for a father's care. Like our children, we need a parent who will not turn his back on us, even though we stumble and fall again and again. As adults, we need to admit the need to be parented. We should not forget this. We come to Jesus like children, empty-handed and in need of the Father. Benjamin, why don't you come up to share? Can I balance this for you?
Yeah, sure.
We'll do your Bible here and we'll do your notes there.
Hi, I am Benjamin. I am 11, just turned, and I just come a few years ago from Christchurch, which is over more north, I think. Don't know if I've got that right. But anyway, we moved whenever I was about maybe 5 or 6. I still never really got around to my mum and dad asking why, but I'll get around to that. okay, thanks. We came to Vineyard and I joined BCV Kids in nursery to P2. And a few years after my first few years in P3 to P7, I got baptized in October 2015. And that was really whenever I decided to give my life to Jesus. But anyway, I should stop talking about myself now and talk a little bit about the story. So we know that you've all heard the story at least a gazillion times, but really going over it, it's about Jesus showing that kids are just as important as all of us. And he felt just the same as we do. Like he feels like, for any of you who has like a little brother or had a little cousin and you have him sitting in your lap, then you know how warm it feels inside. And because Jesus was a human too at that point, I'm sure that's how he felt. That's how I feel when my little cousin Matthew sits in my lap. And whenever he giggles, it's just one of those feelings that's so warm and so happy. And if you're having a bad day, I would give everything just to have him have a little cuddle with him. And another one of those feelings is I work in twos and threes sometimes, just in that room over there. And sometimes I'll be working with these kids, and then there's this kid's fallen hurt himself, so I'll go over to him, and then the rest of them will just trail like a snake behind me and won't I'll try and say I need help, but they'll just stay there looking at me. And yeah, it's a bit yeah. So and then my sister, this is a real miracle that happened with her that kind of relates. So she was at a summer fair, and you know the way at every summer fair there'll be like a bouncy castle or a massive big inflatable slide. So she went and she decided she'd go on one of those, but she fell on her elbow and got a massive big burn, and it was there for ages. And one week at church, she talked to leaders about it because it was really bothering her, and so, like, they prayed for it, and within the course of 10 minutes it was getting smaller and smaller and smaller until you could barely see it. And she came out actually in tears of pure joy and relief, because something like that had never really happened before. And it was just, for all of us and kids, it was really cool, because that's probably one of the first miracles I've ever experienced. And in my opinion, the children in Jesus, like, it's not healing, but it's a miracle that Jesus thinks of children like he thinks of adults. I just think it's super awesome that he accepts us and takes us as one of our own. And I think that some of my friends are going to come and pray for us now from P3 to P7. So, yeah.
I'll take over. Thank you. Well done, Benjamin. Thanks for sharing. You stay up. You stay up. Yeah, that was a really fun time with Heather, wasn't it, a few weeks ago with your sister being healed. We had been up at the Causeway Coast Vineyard, Ben's mummy, Jen, and a crowd of us, and we'd heard stories of how they were praying for cuts and bruises to vanish, and they were vanishing. So these guys gave it a go and got to watch Naomi's burn start to gradually disappear. Which was very exciting. And it reminded me of not so long ago, we were talking about this, weren't we? There was a time when we prayed for scars and things to, healing to happen, of like cuts and bruises and scars here on a Sunday morning. And there was one girl who I remember who had a scar from having had a cesarean section, and it completely disappeared that morning. So we have an inheritance where this has happened, and we have a history of this. So I'm going to finish up in a wee minute, but a few of our kids have come. We've got some folks here who are going to pray, and if you have got any scars or burns or cuts or bruises that you'd let us pray for, we would really, really love to do that. I love to hear stories like Benjamin's. You know, so often when we hear testimonies of God moving in power to set free, say, someone who's been an addict or a thief, it sounds absolutely amazing. You know, people whose lives are in tatters and Jesus saves them and resurrects them, the new life with him. And I love stories like that as much as the next person. Our God is amazing. But these are not the greatest testimonies. A great testimony is when a person tells of how they give their life to Christ at a young age and lived with him as their Lord for the rest of their lives, like Benjamin's done. That's what our church should be aiming for, reaching our children right now. I want to ask, we were going to do this, weren't we? Can you put your hand up if you became a Christian when you were under 10? Yeah, an awful lot. Yeah, you can put your hand down. So many of us, all the statistics show that so many of us become Christians. We're more likely to meet Jesus as a child than as an adult, actually. And Becky Olmsted from Vineyard Kids USA, she would say, because childhood's like the good soil that the parable talks about. And we have this awesome chance to come and make a difference in the lives of our kids. So I couldn't end without inviting you to come and join in and serve in one of the most exciting ministries in our church, where you get to lead kids to Jesus every week if you want to, and you get to see the kingdom released as hearts open up to him. You'll make a difference now, and you'll change the future. And Mark Griffiths, whose book I was reading this week, he tells a story in it. He is a pastor, and he got a job in a new church, and he stood in front of the adults, and he had told that he said to them, I just want to tell you that if there's ever a week when there's not somebody to teach the kids across in the church hall, I'm just going to leave you to your own devices, and I'm going to go and teach them. Because he said this, I've read the statistics, if you're over 30 and you're sat here, chances are you're here for the rest of your life, if not in this church, in a church. But actually, the statistics show that if you're aged between 7 and 12, the statistics show the chances are you won't be in a church in 5 years' time. We have to teach our kids. We have to prioritize them. It's the heart of Jesus. We have to gather our kids in close and be available to them. We've got to welcome them. We've got to draw them in. We've got to bless them. It is time to make sure that we keep this generation. Perhaps we can be a church of people who know and understand what happens when we take times to gather our children close and place them on the lap of Jesus. I'm going to invite our ministry team up, kids, youth and otherwise, to come on up to the front, and we're going to finish by praying. So you could maybe make your way up now. That would be amazing. Okay. Thank you. We've got some people coming. You see, the kids are the most responsive. You're here first. All right. Okay. Do you desire to be held in Christ's arms? Do you desire to hear him pronounce blessings over you? Many of us spend our life figuring out that to be empty-handed and in the arms of Jesus is actually all we've ever wanted. Some of us need to come to Jesus for the first time this morning and give our lives to him. Some of us need to come back to him like our kids do year after year after year and recommit your life to Jesus this morning. Some of you need healing, and we want to pray for you as well. So please come on up. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you're here with us. Thank you that you have, like Benjamin prayed at the start, you have come and you've challenged our hearts and you've helped us understand your word in a new way. I just pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would increase your presence. I thank you that you're here to heal and that you're here to save right now in this time and in this space. So yeah, I just pray that you would come and that you would change all of us.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.